Welcome to Breakfast with Tiffany Show. My name is Tiffany Rosdell, and I am a Tokyo-based transformational lifestyle coach. In each episode of this podcast, I want to explore the positive transitions other people have made to how they freed themselves from their struggles, what pushed them to overcome their difficulties, and how and why they felt like they could overcome. Breakfast with Tiffany Show is really all about the transitions everyone who wants to succeed makes and what they did to get there. As such, while the focus is on LGBTQ+ journeys, I want to share the stories of all people who have found their way to success. My hope is to have this platform for all of us to be together while listening to successful stories, amazing life experiences, inspirational journeys, as well as having good laughs and lots of smiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce you to something quite extraordinary? It's the Breakfast with Tiffany Show podcast. And now, it is with great pleasure that I introduce you to your host, Tiffany Rosdell.
Hello to our lovely listeners out there. First off, we would love to extend our gratitude as our platform has been expanding with the love and support from our audience. We felt that this would be a great opportunity to announce that the Breakfast with Tiffany show is opening positions to all you creatives, artistic, and expressive individuals who would like to challenge themselves and learn what's it like to be a part of our podcast, our upcoming newsletter, and our YouTube channel, where you get exclusive behind the scenes, grow your network, and gain experience in a space that values your well-being and goals. We have a diverse team with members from different backgrounds, skill sets, and ambitions who began as they enjoyed the content of what we do here. If this sounds like an experience you would love to try out, feel free to send us an email at breakfastwithtiffanyshow@outlook.com. Again, breakfastwithtiffanyshow@outlook.com, and we will also include that on our podcast show notes. And let us know who you are, why you are applying, and any questions you might have for us. We are eagerly waiting to hear from you and introduce you to our team. With lots of love from yours truly and the rest of the team of Breakfast with Tiffany Show. So you're talking a little bit about the struggles and living in Germany. I want to know more about you living as a drag performer, as a queer in Berlin. You have the rights now, you have the marriage equality. What are the other issues that you and the brothers and sisters from the community like experiencing right now?
There's still like this issue of the self-determination law for trans people. So if you want to change your gender marker, or if you want to, I don't know, go to HRT, like hormone replacement therapy and stuff, you really need to have the money. Like you need to go to like a lot of doctors, and you have to get a lot of like papers that say, yeah, this person really needs this. At the moment, there's like this new self-determination law, and it's very horribly written. It's like written in the way that makes sure that even businesses can say, like, I don't want to give you service because you're trans. Or even if you're like a trans man and you had a kid, you can change it from like, I was the mother to like, I am the dad. You have to pick like a gender neutral term, even though maybe you don't resonate with this, because you are the dad, even though you gave birth to this kid. So there's like a lot of badly written like sentences in the law that makes it really vulnerable to like anti-trans and very transphobic politicians and institutions. So we're still fighting for this. We're also fighting for general acceptance, because it's one thing if you have a system that allows you to be free, But for example, we don't have a really good anti-discrimination law. And I had so many Ubers who were just yelling at me or like passing by because I was in drag. I don't even use like public transport in drag anymore or like in femme presenting because people throw glass bottles at you. People take pictures of you and laughing. The society needs to change, not just the governmental structure. It has to be like both ways. And because if you're German, you're fine. But the moment you're like an expat or maybe like a refugee, and in Europe you have a lot of refugees at the moment, it's hard for you to get the same laws that protects you if you don't have the German pass, even though it doesn't make sense in Europe because Europe is like a conglomerate of like different countries. We have like next to us countries in wars. And of course, if somebody needs help, I wouldn't close my door. And if people are in my home, I want to make sure they're safe and not in a hostile environment. So we're also fighting. At the moment, it's more about trans lives and trans laws that we need to really attack and to really get help to have like more visibility. And of course, yeah, the people needs to change.
Absolutely agree. Sorry to hear that you had to go through like with those like experiences, especially like Uber. Can you imagine like you're paying to be on Uber and they can't even like, sorry to hear that. And that's why we really need all these laws that will protect us, because can you imagine like now what's happening in America? They're trying to get out of that protection from trans people. So it's, they're going back again. So it's just crazy, crazy to think. So speaking of America, so I love that we go around the world, like Japan, Germany, Philippines, and then now we're going to America. You had an amazing reality show that featured in German television, and I was able to watch it. I love the title, by the way. The title is Drag Me to USA. Am I correct? I love it. So I've watched it. Can you please share a little bit about how it all started and who did you
Yeah,
meet?
it was like a very interesting project because the casting was like over a year and hundreds of drag queens from like Germany, Switzerland, and Austria, like all the German-speaking countries. The director is Yoni Leiser. He's like this art punk director from the US who lives in Berlin, and he fell in love in Berlin so much because it's very punk. The drag scene is like very gritty and also like very beautiful. I think he was wondering what would happen if we put like three German drag queens through the southwest of the US doing this Tu Wong Fu, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert style
Oh yeah,
situation.
exactly. That's how it looked like.
Yeah. And I was like imagining, oh, we're going to go to all the big cities and perform. I always say we had four stunt queens in the season, the drag queens and the director, because he was like, yeah, we're going to New Orleans, but after that, we're going to this tiny, tiny village where they celebrate Mardi Gras in a very different way. And we went there and we could see them chasing chickens on horses, throwing chickens. They were looking, having like weird costumes that didn't look like Mardi Gras, but more like weird little monsters. And we looked like super, super queer. And we were like, what is happening? Why are we doing this? And he really showed us different sides of the US, the big cities, but also the small towns. And we tried to talk to queer artists, queer people, and we were performing to see like this, is there a culture clash? Could we maybe learn from each other? And the sad part is, this was like the same month or a month after the Don't Say Gay Bill in Florida, where they discussed this openly to ban any discussion about like sexual identity and gender identity in classrooms and in school, which I feel is like very toxic and also very dangerous because if you have kids and you're educating them for heterosexual stuff, they really think that this is like the norm, even though queer people exist. So during the whole travel and whole journey, we had always this thing in the back, like, oh, this is a country that at the moment is discussing to erase like queer identities. And now it's happening again in a way bigger scale. They're like trying to ban drag queens, but also with this law, they also actually tried to ban and attack trans people. It was interesting to visit this beautiful country. The journey was so amazing. The same thing with movies. You watch it, you watch people riding through the desert, but if you're there, it's like so magical and everything is so vast and huge, and you don't see a town for like 8 hours and just like you on the road. But then you have also people who are working until they're 90, or drag queens who don't have any health care and they have to work insane shifts to pay their rent, even though nobody apparently in the country loves them, even though that's not true, you know? It's like always this how media perceives something and how the actual people are there. It was also like a weird journey of this beautiful country, but some things are not just right.
So this show, that Drag Me to USA, is only 3 episodes, I believe, right? You only did 3 episodes. Are they going to show it in the international Netflix in the future?
I'm not sure. I really hope so. But also, there's a secret fourth episode because we had so much material that we had to cut away stuff. We even had more moments where we were interviewing people more. We were like in Houston, that was cut away. We also had like some really amazing artist that was like cut away because at some point production was like, oh, we want to focus more on the girls because it's still rare to have drag queens on TV. So they wanted to show more drag queens. But for me, I want to see drag queens, but I want to see them do their professions and do like the, not just characters, but like burning for. So it was nice to see us moderating and like talking to people and connecting. That wasn't shown. So I feel there also needs to be a change in media. We're not just like the beautiful clowns. I mean, we are the beautiful clowns, but also we have a lot of talent and we also have this beautiful power to connect to people and to share stories to each other. I feel like this is something every drag queen should do. We should be like living archives of like queer history. So that's why it's also a reason for me to do the project, to like talk to people, to learn, and also the reason why I said yes to this very short notice booking for Tokyo, because I really want to learn from other people and share this, because if we share information, we're more powerful as a community.
Oh my gosh, I just can see now, like, you're gonna do like a Drag Me to Japan version of
We
that
really thought about that too, but then we were
right?
like, okay, but then we need somebody who speaks fluent Japanese
I can speak
because,
fluent
like,
Japanese.
yeah, we can hire you,
Yeah,
sir.
I'll be like backing you three of you. But no, I love this show. I love the show, and I think I've never seen that kind of show, like reality show. I know that there's the RuPaul's Drag Race. Even me, I don't even watch RuPaul's Drag. I watch, like, sometimes I will check like the performers and this and that, but I never really watched like the entire episode. It's quite long, right? And it can get addictive. So I don't watch it. But what I love about the show, the Drag Me to USA that you guys did, was like what you said, like talking to people, connecting with people, and also sharing both different cultures, different experiences as LGBT. I think those are really important. And also, it showed that you guys were in drag and like going all around and, you know, like the rural areas of America, you know, the people, how they react, how they comment. Americans can be like bluntly, like just express how they, you know, they can't, they just like. And I want to ask you about that Mardi Gras experience, because I saw like there was these people, the white men, right? Like they were like having these placards showing that go to hell or something like on their placards. Well, what was that about?
Like you're a sinner. This was such a weird thing because Mardi Gras is just once a year. Because this is the thing, like American TV is very sexualized, but Americans aren't. So for them, this is like a way to express their inner beast. They like join a party. They just want to have kiss a stranger in the night. And we also like met a lot of people who were like from Nevada, from Ohio, from all around the place. And weirdly, it's also a place for like queer people to just test it out, to be like, hey, how is it to dress as I want to dress? We met one girl, she was from Ohio, and it was like such a weird thing because all her colleagues and all her friends, they were like super religious and they were like, we accept you, but you're going to burn in hell. And I was like, wait, they told you this? Yeah, they're telling me every now and then. And I was like, but why are you still there? Like, why don't you live, I don't know, just move to New Orleans? And she was like, yeah, I would love to, but it's like hard to move around in the US. And so this Mardi Gras was like a little bit of a safer space for queer people. But because of all this sin and sex and whatever, apparently there are like a lot of hate groups who don't just tour the states. Any cultural festival
Oh,
there
they
where it could
go.
be like a little bit, they go everywhere just to block and have like the signs,
Wow, okay.
and especially to Mardi Gras they just come. And there was also like this one dude who was dressed as a nun. He was anti-prostate. They were like doing a demonstration against them, and he was like, "This is so annoying. They come every year. You know all the faces. They always come back, and they just stay here, and they just like harass people and having the signs. But we just want to have fun. And it's just like once a year." And for me, it was like so interesting because in Berlin, yeah, you get yelled at because maybe you're too slow, or maybe you're like using the right crossway or something, or you're like in somebody's way. But it was so weird in America. Everybody was like, "Oh, you look gorgeous," and like talking to you, like, "Oh, I love this." But also at the same time, people are like using slurs at you, or like, "Hey, I hate you," or "You're going to burn." They're really open with their opinions, and they don't shy away to just tell you in your face, even though you didn't ask. So we had this super fun, liberated party and like Mardi Gras. At the same time, there were like this angry men who just wanted to ruin the party for everybody. And it was over like first or second night, and we were like a little bit, I don't know, like we danced in front of them. And of course, with the camera, you do this kind of stunts, but of course, it could be, like, you don't know because like you can wear guns in the US, so it was technically like very dangerous. But in that moment, you just feel like it's so unfair, you know, like everybody's enjoying themselves, nobody's hurting somebody, and then like this angry man telling everybody they're going to burn in hell forever, and I feel like that's not fair.
Yeah, that's why I love your show too, because you showed this part of the America, which I think I've seen. I've never been to New Orleans, but I've heard, of course, the Mardi Gras, one of the biggest festivals in America. And I would love to go to Mardi Gras, but not knowing like these things are happening. I didn't even know. I didn't even heard about this thing. And that's the first time I saw, and I was like, what was that? It's very, very interesting.
I was also surprised because I just heard Mardi Gras from, you know, like the media, and it was like everything was nice.
That's what
But
you show,
then,
yeah.
yeah, it makes sense. Of course, if people are there enjoying themselves, there will be people trying not to do that. But most of the time, you're quite safe, and everybody's just like enjoying themselves. And also Americans, I feel like in that area, they would also protect you if something happens. I think the first hour we did the filming, it was really interesting. We found Tarot reader who was predicting the future, and she was like this black trans woman. And we were sitting there. Sometimes I believe in it, sometimes I don't. But in that moment, everything she said to each of us, it happened,
Oh,
and
really?
it's still happening. Yeah, and it's
Oh my
still
gosh.
happening.
And
And
you didn't include that on the show.
no, they cut it away. It was so unfair because it's still happening. I think this is like the magic and the power of like trans people, like a trans woman. Like she was a goddess, and I'm still listening to what she says, like.
Wow, powerful. So I
Yeah.
also love part of that show that I love when you did your performance, and like what you said earlier, whenever you do perform, you narrate it in your story. And that one that you perform in one of those gay bars, after you perform, you were tearing up. And they were
Yeah.
still interviewing you. Can you please share the listeners about it, and what did you felt after that performance?
This was like also very emotional because this performance was dedicated to a trans woman. Her name was Ella Nikbayan. She was like a refugee from Iran and trans. I think 3 months before filming, she took her own life in public. Like she burned herself in the middle of the street because everybody knows about Iran. It's like very harsh environment, I would say, for everybody who's not like straight and a man. So she was really suffering, and the German refugee laws are also like really good, really need to change them. So she was desperate. She was like really desperate in the purest meaning of the word, and she burnt herself. And it was like so hard for us because it's already gruesome if trans people get killed, but like the moment somebody needs to take their life, it really hit us. So we were like mourning as a community. And I wanted to bring the story to the US because her name was also not very well handed in the German media. So I wanted to have this one moment as an archive. So I just brought it to the show. I was performing Angel Down by Lady Gaga, but not official version. It was like a studio version where you can hear her pure voice and not a lot of instruments. And I was dressed like a white angel and playing with this idea that angels are taken away from us. So I performed it, and it was my first performance in the US. And I didn't know, like, I forgot. I knew it, but I forgot that performing in the US is really linked to striptease because people give you money. And in Berlin, we don't do this this way because we get our money from the venue, and at the end, we get tips, but not in between. So I had like this narrative, but then I realized, oh, I need to go around and collect money, even though I'm like talking about like something very vulnerable and like something very precious of me. So it was weird to do it, and at the end, I was able to talk about it a little bit because the host gave me the microphone. And at the end, I did like one last round, and people, you could really see like some of the gay men didn't listen to it because they wanted to put money into my bra. And I was like, hey, I was just talking about like, like trans issues globally, and you want to do this? And I did it. And afterwards, because also like the first time in drag, the first time performing in a different country, and maybe jet lag, I was very emotional and I cried in the backstage because I didn't feel my message was heard because they're like so used to have Britney numbers and dance numbers, like something you can spend your money, but they weren't like used to have emotional numbers, which is like very different to Berlin because we try to have everything. I was crying, I was very emotional, but then one of the staff, they cut it away, one of the staff people came to the backstage and she was like, oh my God, I'm doing this like for years and years, and you really touched me. And then she gave me like a lot of money as a thank you. And which for me is like weird. It's like, okay, I am an artist and artists shouldn't starve, but it was still weird to get the money, but I saw it as a big thank you, as an appreciation. Then I was a little bit fine because I was like, okay, she's seeing a lot of numbers, so maybe she knows more about different ways of performing. But it was so hard for me to realize, like, okay, sometimes people don't want to listen to the sad stories, but it's not just sad stories, it's actual people who are suffering. We're just like conveying this so people listen.
Yeah, such a powerful performance. Thank you for sharing that story. And I think what you're doing is amazing. Like what you said, so many drag performers, especially in America, like they're used to just doing all this performance, which is amazing. It's just very
It's
entertaining.
amazing, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, I didn't even know that in Berlin, you guys have variety of different performances. And one thing that you can also bring to the stage is by sharing people's stories, which is, I think, so powerful for me. I don't think I know many performers, drag performers, who's doing that kind of performance. What inspired you to do it?
For me, it's always this thing of I really see myself in that. If I wouldn't have my boyfriend, if I didn't have the emotional work that I did, which was like a lot, I feel like I'm way behind. I'm 35 now, and this is the moment to have like a stable life. And classmates of mine had this like with 25 or even with 23. I really had to work on myself to just love myself. I also, as a kid, I was, do I even need to be in this world? But I did my work and I'm still here. And then I see myself in that kind of stories and that kind of people. It's like weird to say, but a little bit of myself dies with it because, hey, they could have enriched this world so much if we would have left them. But we didn't let them. We just let them alone. So for me, I really want to share this because also you never know who you're going to touch, who's going to be in the audience. And so many times where like somebody from the audience has came to me and just hugged me in a way you're, oh wow, we were connecting in a way that words can't even like describe it. I don't want to reach a lot of people. I just want to reach the right amount of people.
Oh, so beautifully and with sensitivity. Thank you so much, Vivian. This question I will ask you since it's been that was pre-pandemic when you released that show, right? The Drag Me to USA.
It was close after pandemic because like in Europe, the pandemic, I think like 2021, we could already, or 22, we could already travel a lot.
Oh, so you're doing that during after like post-pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's been what, like 2 years, 1 or 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this question
Yeah.
is one of the questions that you guys were talking about during having conversations with them, with your drag friends, about the American dream. And for you, I want to ask you, what is your definition of success? I think that was also asked to you during the
Yeah.
show.
I think like success for me, I don't see success for me as a single person because I know I can only be successful if others who look like me, who act like me, can be successful. So I said something, success is for me if the community can live and not just survive. Because I know if I am successful as a singular person, it's just like a phenomenon. Because I am, like, I know I'm marginalized and I lived the way of a marginalized person. So knowing this, it wouldn't make me happy because I know, yeah, this is just like an exception to the rule. For me, success would be if everybody's safe, if everybody got like the same amount of privilege that everybody else who looks like me, who acts like me, who is like also like BPOC and trans. So I feel like success shouldn't be weighted for a single person, more like what is like the group or the community is doing. It would be nice to have also like a more environment where you see other trans people. I think we talked about it a little bit. For example, how medical team are not like very trained for trans people. And you said something like, yeah, we should have more trans doctors. And it's so true. We need more people like us in medical fields and professional fields, or at least some kind of like counselor, because we should get the money like everybody else, and we also should have all the access to anything we want to. Yeah, success for me is if we do good as a community.
Oh, amazing. Absolutely amazing. Thank you for sharing that. You also talk about on that reality show about having a family. Are you still thinking about it?
I'm still thinking about it because you have this moment when you like see other babies and you're like, yeah, I can imagine myself having this baby, or like thinking about, oh, I could make it so much better than I had. I would at least try to listen more to the kid and see like, oh, what's like the gender identity, of course, or like be more open, be like, hey, society says gender is this, but just let's have fun with it. Just like be you, be really you. What do you want to do in life? Let me help. I'm thinking about this. But also I'm in a space in my life where I'm like very happy because I have my chosen family, I have my partner, and I have so many projects, and I have a whole room. We have a whole room, which is a guest room, but it's just full with drag and projects. So the opportunity is there because we met one of the drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race and Tempest du Jour, and she had like foster children. And she was a professor at the uni to teach about theater. And now she also teaching about drag history. And for me, I couldn't imagine that queer people could do this. So it really gave me hope that we can have like any life we want to if society is ready. Because I think a lot of queer people are ready to really succeed.
Oh, powerful. If society is ready, I think, yeah, society should get ready for us.
They should get ready for us.
I love it. You shared a little bit about your childhood memories with a few stories from your parents. How is your relationship now with your parents?
My mom died of lung cancer, but like the relationship with before, it wasn't good. I wasn't outed, but she knew a little bit. Like, she could, like, I think every mom can feel it. And she wasn't happy about it. There's also, like, a reason why I started so late with anything what's considered going out, meeting other, like, queer people. I was, like, very closeted. I was very unhappy. And I had to learn to do, like, everything in the shadow. Okay, just go to a party. Don't tell her about it. Just say, like, having a sleepover and stuff. And it's so sad for me because I feel like parents should be part of the kid's life, especially if they're happy, and especially if they're not happy. So I really learned to a little bit be my own mother a little bit, with my dad a little bit better. But also I just learned for me, family, like blood relatives, is not family for me. It's your friends, your real family who treat you as family. We don't have any connection. Also with my aunties and stuff, but we sometimes have like a little phone call, and that's fine, I believe. But they also acknowledge that I have a boyfriend, and I believe I'm one of the like cousins with the most longest and stable relationship, so they can't say anything.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm sorry to hear about your mom. I'm just happy to hear that you found your own family now, which is amazing, right? And then they're being very supportive about you, especially your partner. About your mom, if you're going to have the opportunity to, let's say, have the opportunity to speak to her again, what would you say?
First, I would like ask her if she's fine, and then tell her that I'm fine. I think I would just tell her everything. I would be like, "Hey, this is maybe not the life that you would approve," and because she's like very this alpha mom, she really had control over everything. But I would just say like, "Hey, sometimes stuff happens that is out of your control and it's none of your business, but it can still flourish." And I just know that I don't need to prove anything to her now because I already proved to myself, I already proved to my friends, because they tell me, because at some point I was like, yeah, I'm not a family person. A friend of mine just like turned around, was like, that's not true. You're like one of the most family person I know. And that says a lot in like a queer in the queer bubble. And I realized I became the person that I'm now that could have helped me as a kid. So yeah, I would just say like, hey, I hope you're fine because I am very fine at the moment.
Oh, I'm sure she's very happy to see you like happy. And that's the most important thing, I think, right? If our
Yeah.
parents see us happy, I think that's what gives them peace too.
Because of also society, and especially in the 80s and 90s, how the media was portraying like gay people and queer people, I think parents are just afraid that we're going to die early and be unhappy. But I mean, it happens, but also the other side happens too.
I'm not sure if you were in the Philippines, but in the Philippines, can you imagine like 80s, 90s? It's not even like
Yeah.
you can't even like have conversations about it. I mean, it changed a
Yeah,
lot.
okay.
I've heard it changed a lot. So let's go for a fun side of the podcast. I would love to ask you a few questions before we wrap up the show.
Okay.
First, I would love to ask you is, I'm not sure if you know, I DJ. I told you that,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So I DJ, and if you are going to request a song for me, for you to perform in your drag show, what song it will be and why?
It's an old song already, but I really love Levitating by Dua Lipa
Oh,
because
I
it's like
love that song
so,
too.
yeah, it's like cosmic, really fun to perform, and her voice is beautiful, and I love this idea of traveling the cosmos. And it's like so fitting to performing in drag on stage because it shows, yeah, we're like this galactic goddesses who just like owning everything, and everybody can join the journey if they're ready.
Exactly. If they're ready. I love that. I love Dua Lipa. I actually saw one of your performances that you did perform Sailor Moon, by the way,
Yeah.
in your show. And I think that was. By the way, did you go to when you were here in Japan, did you go to Sailor Moon Museum?
I heard the Sailor Museum was closed
Oh, it was
apparently
closed.
already.
Okay.
This is something I rarely do during Pride. I left the Pride parade because we're going by the Sailor Moon shop, and we went there and we bought so much Sailor Moon merch. Also for friends, because I don't know,
Gifts,
my
gifts.
bubble everybody loves, yeah, gifts. And my favorite Japanese word is taksufree, because you get like 10% off. Yeah, taksufree. So we got 10% off. And the song I performed is also the German version of the intro. So it's really fun because if you don't know it, it's still a good song because it's really like we have this genre, this German genre, it's called Schlager, a little bit like German pop country. And it's just the same vibe and the same how you build a lyric. So even if you don't know it as a German, you just like vibe and dance to the song.
Oh, that's nice. I love it. Love Sailor Moon. I actually in the Philippines,
Yeah.
when I was in the Philippines, I think Sailor Moon is the only anime. And there's another one I forgot. It was called Sedi, but it wasn't Sedi in Japan. So there's two only anime
Yeah.
that I watched when I was young in the Philippines, and I love both of them. Sailor Moon, of course. Sailor Moon is amazing.
And Sailor Moon had queer characters, right? They had trans women and
Oh yeah, like they when they
like
did
even
like yeah,
lesbians.
I didn't know what exactly what is, but like I've heard about that too, yeah.
Yeah.
So this question. So what advice do you have for an aspiring drag performers?
This is something I feel like everybody says, but I really wanna say it again. Really be you, because nobody else is doing the job. So
True.
show us why you want to do drag and just be unique about it, because you are unique and you got all the skills that nobody else got. and show it, and don't be afraid to stand out. And also just have fun with it. Drag doesn't need to be perfect, it needs to be fun and relatable.
Oh, love that. Fun and relatable. So, of all this climate crisis that we're going on right now, I love living sustainably. And I wonder what you and your partner is doing to live a sustainable lifestyle.
In Germany, because we have like a lot of train, like the train system is really good, so you can even visit like big cities or something like Paris via train, you don't need to fly. And we always try to do this kind of stuff because also you have like time to sit and to talk a little bit to yourself and have like this cute moment. So I would say if you traveling is good because you're going to learn more about like different cultures, different perspectives. It doesn't need always to be a plane to do it. It can be also like a nice train ride, or if you want to go with friends, you can share like a car or like something. So it's always like about travel because like everybody's traveling. I feel like the world wants to explore itself, but you can also just like take a cute train.
I love that. And you know that here in Japan too, like we travel train a lot in Tokyo and how amazing like Tokyo when it comes to like train accessible.
Yeah, the train system is amazing in Japan, like
Yeah.
the bullet train and stuff.
Right. And it's super clean, right? And everything is just clean and everything is just on time and everything is just easy, like very easy.
I never seen such a clean city, to be honest. And the streets are like so beautifully clean, nothing in comparison to Berlin. Like, if you go to Berlin, please come to Berlin because it's a beautiful city, but be shocked in the first few days.
It's on my bucket list, so definitely gonna go. By the way, like since COVID, my realization of traveling now is travel with a purpose. So if I have a purpose traveling to some place, I would definitely go. And I think through your connections, I'm gonna have something going on in Berlin.
Yes,
Right.
yes.
Vivian, I know you have amazing connections. Among your amazing connections, based from our conversations today, who do you think I should interview next?
There's like this amazing, also like a DJ. Her DJ name is Kakao Katze. It's like
Ooh, cut
Cocoa Cat. Her name is Lien. She's not just a DJ, but also she dabbles also in politics. Like there was like this moment where could voted her for like a city thing. For me, it was amazing and shocking to see her in her political variant.
and then DJ.
Two different worlds, like day and night. But for me, that represents Berlin. The day is way different than the night. It can be, but also it's different sides of the same coin. And she's just amazing, super cute, and she does a format called voicemail. It's like this stage for different Asian heritage people to perform in Berlin, and they come from all over the place. And it's also like funded. Like she's really good at like funding stuff. And I can give you also like a link later.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, I would love to meet her. It's very interesting to have that both sides. I used to be like in the nightlife industry, now like focusing on my other career. So yeah, definitely would. I think I can probably resonate with her story. Since this is going to be like a Pride Month a special episode on our podcast, what message do you have for everyone as Pride Month?
I mean, Pride Month, the original six colors, they have like all meaning, right? Like, for example, like purple means for spirit, and I think red is for life or something. I don't know which color it is, but one color is healing. So I really wish that we can heal as individuals. But I would tell everybody, the moment you feel healed, help other people to heal. That's your responsibility.
Powerful. So as we begin to wrap up this episode, again, this will be like during the Pride Month. Hypothetically, if I could make you, Vivian, the spokesperson for the world when it comes to Pride, and you had the chance to address all the corporations, all the businesses, all the organizations, everyone in social media, particularly in this current and very political social climate we are right now in 2023, if you had everyone's attention and you had some marching orders for them, what would they be?
I would tell everybody trans rights for everyone now.
Powerful. I think that's like one very powerful message. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. So Vivian, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you for sharing your story with us, your authenticity, your activism and especially your love for drag. You are a true
Thank
inspiration,
you.
and we can't wait to see all the amazing things you'll accomplish in the future. You will have also our supports, and I'm also looking forward to what we can collaborate more in the future.
Me too, me too.
We touched on so many topics today, and before we close the show, is there anything in your heart right now that you would like to share as our parting words to our listeners?
In the words of Sailor Moon, like fighting evil by moonlight is a nice thing, but also enjoy yourself by daylight.
Love it. Love it, love
It's so corny, I'm sorry.
it. No, but I love it. I love, like, there every manga has their powerful stories, right? And I believe like Sailor Moon also represents a good
Yeah.
power, like a power, not just a power, but the power of sending a good message to everyone. So thank you for saying
Yeah.
that. And again,
Thank you, Tiffany.
thank you, Vivian. And that's a wrap for today's episode of Breakfast with Tiffany Show. I want to give a big, big thank you to, again, to our incredible guest, Vivian Lovecraft. I love the name. And to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to check out our today's guest bios and links that you will all find out on our podcast show notes. Give them your love and support as well. So don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review on our favorite platform. Your support means the world to us, and it helps us to bring you more amazing content like this. Until next time, stay fabulous and lots of love to you all. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you reach up until this last minute of the show, I am extremely grateful for you for tuning in the whole entire episode. If you enjoyed our episode today, please share it to your friends. You can copy and paste the link wherever you are listening to right now. Text your friend, share on your Instagram stories or your Facebook page. Tag me on your social media when you post it. I'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts on the interview that I had today. And if it's your first time here once again, please do me a favor to subscribe on the podcast. Leave us a review. In every review, it makes me so happy. So I'm looking forward to your ratings and review on Apple Podcasts. You can impact someone's life right now by just sharing our episode today. I hope you enjoy this episode today as much as I do. And I hope you know how much you matter. How much I appreciate your time for listening. How much I love you and appreciate you. I am truly grateful for your kindness and your support. And as I always say, sprinkle kindness wherever you go. I love you and stay safe and healthy.
Join us again next Tuesday for the Breakfast with Tiffany show with Tiffany Rossdale.